Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp for light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who is made to be a curse for us, dear fellow redeemed. Last Sunday we mentioned that it's hard for us to fully imagine what it will be like to stand before the presence of our holy and almighty God in the paradise of heaven. But also it's hard for us to fully imagine what it must have been like for Adam and Eve to walk and talk with God and stand in the presence of the holy and almighty God in the paradise of Eden. Before sin entered this world, God lived with God in perfect peace and eternal bliss. There was a perfect harmony in their marriage, a perfect relationship with God, with all animals, perfect contentment, perfect joy. There was no sorrow, no suffering, no sickness, no sin, no death. But all the perfection of paradise was lost when Adam and Eve fell into sin and also fell under sin's curse. This curse of sin destroyed that perfect relationship between God and man. And we see that already when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, ate of the forbidden fruit. What did they do? They tried to hide from God. There now was an alienation that occurred. No longer was there this oneness between God and man. There was a separation between the perfect God and sinful mankind, who are now under sin's curse, under God's wrath and condemnation. Unfortunately, there are other curses that came upon mankind because of sin. Human beings now would find it difficult to work. There'd be pain, suffering. Well, God spells it out for us in Genesis 3, 16 to 19. So the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Everything now was changed. Relationship was no longer perfect, harmonious, or at peace. We see that in the very first family that God created. As they grew older, their eldest son, Cain, in anger and jealousy of his younger brother, killed his brother, Abel. And over the years, we've seen all the curses that have come upon this world, upon mankind, because of sin. War, crime, violence, murder, suicide, rape, robbery, sickness, disease, injury, death. And on this wonderful creation that God made also comes curses, tornadoes, earthquakes, fires, volcanoes, tidal waves, tsunamis, famines, drought, and all kinds of storms, ice, rain, snow. And over the thousands of years, man has tried to eliminate that curse. Tried to eliminate the curse and the terrible effects that it has upon mankind. Human beings have tried to make this world again perfect. A utopia. By passing laws, making legislation. But unfortunately, they don't realize that the very root of all the problems is sin and its curse. Now, there are some who realize that. They realize sin is the root of all the problems in this life. But they too want to try and repair that once perfect paradise. And they try to do it by their own works. They try to be better. They try to atone for their sins and make God love them. But God's word is very clear. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians 3:10. Also we read, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Man, no matter how strong or moral or perfect he thinks himself to be, cannot be the terminator, cannot be the eliminator of the curse of sin. Thankfully, it's only through Jesus Christ, who came into this world, that the curse of sin could be completely eliminated. And that could only be done when Jesus placed himself under the law for us to keep it perfectly in our stead. Paul tells us in Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus kept the law perfectly for us. But man had already sinned. The curse of sin was already there. They were living under the curse of sin. So not only had Jesus had to place himself under the law, he also had to place himself under the curse of the law, the curse of sin. Again, Paul writes in Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus' death on the cross was a cursed death. Not only was crucifixion on the cross a capital crime, a capital punishment for only the worst of criminals. Not only was it one of the worst ways of capital punishment, a very, very terrible, tormentuous way of dying, slowly through suffocation or heart failure or exposure. But Jesus on the cross experienced the greatest curse of sin, God-forsakenness. Eternal damnation, eternal wrath and condemnation of God, the very torments of hell itself. Christ has taken the curse upon himself so that we would be set free, so that we are reconciled, at peace with God, redeemed children of God, brought back to God, free from the wrath and the condemnation which is to come. We still live in a curse-filled world. And therefore, we can only experience in part the elimination of this curse. We still have sorrows, we still have illnesses, we still have suffering, and we still also die. But in our text this morning, the Apostle John sees a picture of the world, heaven, where there is no more curse. There's perfect joy and peace. So we read our text again. John writes, and there shall be no more curse. We shall be living in a new world, a new heaven and a new earth, free from all the physical defects and problems that the curse of sin brings to us. All the many evils that this world has because of sin shall be no more. We shall be restored to that peaceful, perfect relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. Only this time, it will last forever. John writes, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. It's a picture of the eternal presence of our Heavenly Father and our Savior. We'll be in the presence of our triune God throughout eternity. John writes, His servants shall serve him. Literally, this means serve him in worship, serve him in praise, with perfect hearts of joy, perfect songs of praise and hymns of praise, not like the half-hearted songs that we so often give to our Lord, or sometimes even the hypocritical, saying the words, but our minds, our hearts are many, many miles away. This will be perfect songs of praise to our Savior and to our triune God. John writes, they shall see his face. Because of sin, we all mankind cannot stand in the presence of our Almighty God and all of his holy glory and splendor, but not in heaven. In heaven, we shall see our Savior face to face. We shall see our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit face to face, even as I am now looking at you and you are looking at me. It's hard to imagine. John says, we shall see him as he is. Paul writes, now we see but a poor reflection, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. John continues, his name shall be on their foreheads. It's another way of saying that we belong to God. He owns us. We're his possession. In Revelation, the unbelievers all had on their foreheads the letter 666, which showed that they belonged to the wannabe God, Satan, who strived to be the perfect seven, but fell short. And so they had 666 on their foreheads. We have the name of our Savior God on the foreheads. We will be his forever and ever. John continues, and there should be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light. The darkness of sin and death is removed. The light of Christ's countenance will shine forever, just as he did on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he shone as bright as the light, as bright as the sun itself. That is the ultimate fulfillment of the benediction that we hear every Sunday. When the Lord's face will shine upon us, and his bright countenance will surround us throughout eternity. And finally, John writes, and they shall reign forever and ever. Our reign with Christ here on this earth is hidden. Only those who believe can see that we're more than conquerors, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The world sure doesn't see that. But in heaven, it'll be clear. In heaven, we will be ruling with Christ, reigning with him. Heaven is a kingdom that consists only of kings. There'll be no peasants, no warriors. There'll be no slaves, no enemies. We'll all be kings with one King of Kings, Jesus Christ. As we're drawing to the end of this Sunday morning Lenten devotions of the revelation of our triumphant Savior, may this precious picture remain impressed upon our hearts and our minds. Jesus came to be our curse. He was placed under our curse, the curse of our sins, under God's curse of condemnation, under the curse of death, so that he could terminate, eliminate that curse from us forever. So now, the cursed one, together with all of us former cursed ones who believe in him, will live curse-free throughout eternity. Praise be to God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our cursed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.